Good morning, everybody. Please be seated. My name is Anne David. I'm a member of Session and the duty elder for today. I'd just like you to look at the church and see how beautiful it is. And I would like to thank the volunteers from the congregation that spent a lot of time decorating it. I think they did a wonderful job. And for the ladies of the congregation, I would just like to remind you that the WA potluck is on, Christmas potluck is on Wednesday at 12:30, and all the ladies of the congregation are welcome, and please speak to one of the ladies and tell them that if you're coming, okay? That would be great. Now, Reverend Bruce has some announcements that he would like to make.
Who's on WA? You said speak to any of the ladies. See those ladies with their, keep your hands up, I didn't say to put them down. Anybody with their hand up is a person you can speak to if you'd like to come on Wednesday. Okay, you put your hands down now. Thank you. I'd like to just mention a couple of things in the bulletin. Heather Needham, where's Heather? There's Heather. Heather will be downstairs again collecting for the children that we sponsor. This is the last Sunday in which we can do that. Heather, we're doing okay so far, but we still need lots of help and support. So speak to Heather downstairs if you can. The other thing I'll point out, a couple of more things. Creef Hills is hosting their buffet luncheon again, and we're going. You can see the cost is $18 per person. And please let Renata know if you're coming so we can get all the arrangements made. And if you need a ride, we can probably arrange that for you too. This Sunday, today, as well in your bulletin, you'll notice that we're starting our Christmas Children's Wish Project. I don't want to say too much about this, but we're pretty familiar with it as a congregation. But just keep in mind, Burl, put your hand up so we know who you are. Oh, he's going to stand up. There's Burl, yay. Burl's doing that downstairs. Thank you again, Burl. She'll have envelopes with children's names and families and all the instructions accordingly. It's the wonderful thing that we're able to do. I know when I've spoken to the principal in the past over at the school that we support, many of the children that are there are bused in. Because the subdivision in which that school exists, there's not a lot of children there. There are some, but not a lot. And a lot of the children that are being bused in are from people who are from poorer families, I put it that way gently, but people who are much more in need. And anything we can do in this way can help in so much. So thank you for supporting this program and project, and we continue to do that this year. The last thing I'll point out is we have our mitten tree here. And starting any time, if you want to drop them off through the week, that's possible too, and we'll put them on the tree. Mittens, hats, and socks. Renata mentioned that the other day, and I think it's something very important that during the wintertime, socks can help, warm socks. So, you know, mittens, hats, and socks. Just keep that in mind. So we'll start that anytime now. Okay, that's all the announcements. It's a very busy Sunday today. Let's just take a moment to prepare ourselves for worship this morning.
People of hope, God desires people to remember the ancient promises and hold fast to the vision of heaven and earth made new.
Make us those hopeful people.
God longs for people who will not let discouragement be the last word, but who wait for God's word.
Make us those hopeful people.
God yearns for people who push back against the dark lie of hopelessness. God's call to hope transforms the world.
Make us those hopeful people.
Let's pray together.
God of hope, today and tomorrow, in this season of Advent, we hold fast to your promises and live in hope.
Give us courage to resist the world's anxiety. Bring light to our path as we await the dawn. Thank you.
Thank you, Walter and Carolyn. Join together now in our first hymn, hymn number 110, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Please be seated. Jesus said, do not let your hearts be weighed down by sins and worries in this life, but watch and pray for the grace of God, who will save you in your time of trial. With confidence in God's mercy, we come before God with thanks and confession of sin. Let's bow our heads. Holy One, you have promised us that the day of our salvation is near. Keep us faithful in love and watchful in prayer so that we may stand with confidence and joy at the coming of Christ, who is our Redeemer and our Lord. Lord, we also come before you this morning to ask that you have mercy on us. We are not ready for your coming in so many ways. We still find ourselves living in sinful manners, as though there were no justice on this earth in some ways. We still often live in fear, as though there were no grace. And so, Lord, we ask that you will forgive us for those times. Each one of us is thinking about that right now, a moment where that's happened in this last while. Show us your mercy and your steadfast, everlasting love. Lead us in your truth, and teach us your paths always. For you are the God of our salvation, our Redeemer, and our Savior. Amen. Friends, believe the good news. In Christ we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. May the Lord guide our way, strengthen us in holiness, and make us abound in love for one another and for all. Amen. Thank you. One of the things that in studying services and liturgy and the history of worship in its larger sense is that when we are here to worship, our senses need to be engaged as much as possible. And we have five senses. So this morning when you walked in, you saw some wonderful things. We've just heard some wonderful things. Thank you so much, choir, for that and supporting this multi-sense kind of worship this morning. Let's join together now in our children's hymn, number 292, and we'll sing verses 1, 2, and 3, and then the children will come up during the third verse, and we'll have a time together. 292, Father, I adore you, verses 1 to 3. Boys and girls, we have a Christmas tree set up here, and our special box is under the tree. And something that we'll be doing all through Advent this year is we'll be looking for something. Advent has a lot to do with the word sign. It's a funny word, Advent, but it's the coming, it's to tell us that something special is coming. So let's think, what's something that's special that's on its way? Christmas, that's right, we're all decorated for Christmas. Christmas is coming. So Advent is we're watching for something to happen. That's what Advent means. And I've got something to show you. This here, without that word, forget that word for the moment. What is that? It's a pylon. It's a traffic pylon. There you go, folks. You can see the traffic pylon. That tells us something. What kind of things does that, what do you do when you see one of these? Grown-ups, what do when we see one of these things? We avoid them? Well, that's true. We do avoid them. But they tell us about something. They direct us, don't they? When we're driving our cars, it's annoying on the road, isn't it, when you see those pylons and you got to go this way, especially when I'm going across Prospect. I see them all the time. It's annoying to have to cut down. But it tells us something is coming. And generally, it's a warning sign. Sometimes they'll put them if they've washed the floor and it's wet, they'll put one there. Sometimes on the road they put them, certainly, to let us know which way to move our car. So it's not necessarily avoiding, but telling us that something's coming. You need to move over and watch for some activity that's going to take place. And we have today lit the candle of hope. And what's coming for us is the hope that we have in Jesus. And I'm going to put that pylon under the tree for now. And I have for each one of you, we say a prayer together. Michelle, where's Michelle gone? Michelle's over there somewhere. Oh, she's already gone. Is she all right? You have some coloring that you can do. And what I want you to do today, and take these home and put them up somewhere special so you can remember. You're terrific. That's what the art pylon says on this little sign. It says, you're terrific. We don't want to avoid that. That's where we want to go. Something's coming. Something's coming that you're terrific. And you can put your name right in there, and you can color this bright color orange and yellow if you want to. Does that sound like good? Jesus is coming. Christmas is coming. Let's have a little prayer together. You can stay right there. That's okay. Lord, we thank you for these children, and we thank you for Advent. They tell us that something very special is coming. And we thank you for all these boys and girls. They're very special to you and to us. Bless them, Lord, as they go off to Sunday school this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, off you go, and we'll remain seated, and we'll sing that verses 1 to 3 again. now as we prepare to hear God's word read, we'll take a moment in prayer and invite the Spirit to enlighten us. Let's bow our heads for that time now. God of our salvation, there's wisdom, peace, and joy for those who keep your word. So by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, lead us in your truth and teach us to do your will, all for the sake of Christ. Amen. Psalm 25 is our responsive psalm. It's in the purple psalter in your pews. This is the first Sunday of Advent, of course, and this psalm is a psalm of lament. And it might seem rather odd to be reading a song of lament or a psalm of lament. Lament psalms are the most common type as we look through the psalter, but it's telling us something that's coming, and it's God's loving kindness. That word chesed that we've heard many, many times over the last while. God's chesed, God's loving kindness is coming, even though much may not be going well for us at the moment, which is what this psalm is showing us. God's love is unceasing, and it stands for giving, blessing, and having compassion on God's followers. This psalm is a special psalm, giving us the hope we need. Psalm 25, verses 1 to 10.
To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your strength, remember me. For your goodness sake, O Lord, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, the Lord instructs sinners in the way, leads the humble in what is right, and teaches them the way they should go. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep God's covenant and decrees. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great.
Thank you, Heather. Our Old Testament reading is taken from Jeremiah 33. That's on page 738 in your pew Bibles, the Old Testament part of your pew Bibles. Part of this verses that we're reading are titled The Little Book of Comfort, if you like, and it's really encapsulated from chapter 30 to 33. And then Martin Luther's the one sort of identified it with that subtitle, if you like. And part of our reading today proclaims the salvation in a form of restoration at the time that David was king and pronounces a new name for Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile. A lot of stuff here historically. It's another sort of time of lament and a time of trouble for the people of Israel. But Jeremiah is giving them that sense of hope that the Lord is coming. Jeremiah 33, verses 14 to 16. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days, and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. Our New Testament reading is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul's letter to the church there. It's found on page 204 in your pew Bibles, if you would like to look that up. 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 9 to 13. And it's a bit of something that we do every Sunday here, a benediction. So what's in a benediction? For Christians, we are accustomed to hearing one spoken at the end of our Sunday services. The benediction performs a key transition. It sends us with God's blessings from the ordered communal intimacy of divine worship. So that that benediction blessing that I give at the end of our services is very much like what we're going to be reading here in so many ways in Paul's letter. It's a way of sending you forth with God's command and God's comfort and God's walking with you. 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 9 to 13, Paul is doing the same. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he also so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before God, our God and Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all the saints. Our gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 21, page 85 in the New Testament part, again of your pew Bibles, Luke 21, beginning at verse 25. This again is the first Sunday of Advent, and it might seem odd to be reading about the end drawing near, but it's traditionally appropriate to read about this sort of stuff at the same time because we're reflecting on Christ's first coming, the Christmas season. And this is a time of hope and a time of, as I said to the children, something's being told to us. We're awaiting something great to happen. And Jesus is talking about that to the disciples and a group gathered with him here in Luke chapter 21, beginning at verse 25. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among the nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourself and know that summer is already near. Also so, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the word of God. Let's gather together in our next hymn number 114, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. Please be seated. Advent, telling us something is coming. It's part of a journey. It's kind of a two-way street. And traditionally, as we begin, for me anyway, our road to Christmas, I always like to share a couple of things to brighten our day. What did Adam say on the day before Christmas? It's Christmas, Eve. And last, what do lions sing at Christmas? Jungle bells. All right, so now you're smiling, you're groaning a little, I've heard that, but you're smiling. And that's a good thing as we enter Advent, because smiles can be and are really a sign of hope. And hope is what our candle is all about this morning, our candle of hope. Today I want to take a quick look at what first seems the story of end times that we've been reading about, times of destruction and times of fiery judgment. But in reality, we're going to be looking at this, a new beginning, a time of renewal, again, a time of hope. Hope in a God that loves us all, a God who cares for us all, a God who sacrifices all for a people who don't even fully appreciate the sacrifice. And that's what grace is all about. Freely done, freely offered, freely given. And again, that's what this candle of hope is lit to remind us of. The hope in a God that loves us all. As we prepare to do that, let's just bow our heads for a moment. Gracious and loving God, this is the first Sunday of Advent, and we sort of surround that first Sunday with this word hope. Fill us with your message of hope today, Lord. Help us to put away all the distractions that we have. There's lots been going on to get us ready for this morning with communion and everything else happening. Help us to clear our minds for the things that you wish to bless us with in the Word today. And, dear Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my mind be acceptable before you and your people. Holy Spirit, open our spiritual ears to hear your word today. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Well, Happy New Year, everyone. This is the first Sunday of the church's liturgical calendar, so today is New Year's Day in so many ways. Last night was New Year's Eve. If you're not following the regular calendar, this would be the calendar we would be following, and today would be the first day of the new year. This first Sunday means that the season of Advent is upon us. That's why we've got all these lovely decorations around. That's why we've lit this candle of hope. And over the course of the next 4 weeks, we'll be taking a look at Advent, because yes, it's arrived. Advent, of course, brings an awareness that Christmas is literally around the corner. It's already here. Where did the time go? It seems like it was just summer a little while ago, and with the temperature rising, it's a reminder that the summer wasn't that far away. Christmas just around the corner, and Advent starting today, you could wonder why we're reading two scriptures in particular that have apparently nothing to do with Advent or the Christmas story. So why start off the Advent season this way? And that's a good question. Jeremiah and Luke appear to be talking about something of an end time, a time when things we know about are going to abruptly come to a powerful and crashing point of destruction. Well, really what they're talking about is a new beginning, not just the end of old things. Advent, as I mentioned before, is an English word that comes from Adventus, or Adventus, to pronounce it properly. Ad is to, and venio, or venio, is come. And it's a Latin translation, I've got to go backwards here, of a Greek word, parousia. And parousia is drawn from the Greek for a divine presence, derived from para, which is beyond, and ousia, which is substance. So Advent is the coming of the divine presence of the God of God in the midst of creation. Advent is the coming of the divine presence of God in the midst of creation. That's what Christmas is. That's why we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. The divine presence of God came into the midst of creation. It's said that Advent celebrates the coming of incarnation of God, not just the coming nativity. They're big words. The incarnation of God in the midst of creation. It's an ongoing process of salvation. While the coming nativity is an event in the once-for-all sort of historical event of Bethlehem. So the nativity is what, you know, we talk about on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, when Mary and Joseph, that whole story. That's that nativity scene. But this incarnation of God is Jesus himself. We anticipate and celebrate more than just Christ's birthday. As I said before, this is what makes the difference with us as Christians. This is not just a celebration of the birth of the leader or start of our faith and religion. This is the birth of God's salvation and change of the way things happen on this earth. We anticipate and celebrate much more. God is entering our world so thoroughly that nothing has been the same ever since that happened. And God continues to take flesh in our midst, in the men and women and children, you, all of you present today, who form his body and his church today. And the birth we anticipate and celebrate is not just the past historical event, but Christ's continuing birth in the church members, you and I, accomplished by the power of the Spirit in the midst of God's people in the world today, right now and for always. Advent is a time when we prepare to anticipate and celebrate this forever-changing event of the incarnation of God, the flesh-making of God. As we walk down this road of hope, this candle signifies this hope during Advent. It causes us and should cause us to begin to think about seasonal traditions that we have in our homes and certainly here at our church. Think about for a moment what some of those might be. We do many things at this church, and if you look around, you can see one of those traditions. We decorate our sanctuary in the halls of our church building for Advent and Christmas. And it's wonderful to see all these lovely decorations and think about the hard work and loving work that goes into putting these things up every year. It's again, as I said, it's striking our senses. We see, we hear, we sense. Advent, as we look at these four candles, hope, peace, joy, and love, we'll also be looking at the four Gospels and their way of showing and telling us the Christmas story. What exactly do we mean by the candle of hope when we reference it today? The dictionary tells us hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. The point of Jeremiah and Luke today is not to cause fear and dread about terrible things coming, but honestly to instill a true sense of hope for a new beginning that's promised in the words found in those two particular readings. Not a word that we should fear, but a word that gives us hope about something new. This time of year can be very stressful for many. It can also be anything but a time of happiness and joy for others. Christmas time, sadly, has become for so many in our day and age a time of deep sorrow, and there's often a sense of loss or even for some exclusion. It's anything but a time of hope or a time of feeling of expectation and desire for that certain thing to happen. For some, this is because of the loss of loved ones over the years that can make this season painful and bring about painful reminders of loss. For others, this is because year after year they have been excluded from things in their lives, and it's only a further reminder of their isolation and loneliness. It's anything but hopeful on a journey of a road to hope. That's why I'm glad that this congregation continues to do things like our Christmas Day dinner and the children's gift program through the school in our neighborhood. It's more than doing just a nice or a good thing at the time of Christmas. It's a tangible way to show that we're not on this journey of hope alone. The whole point of our journey, this whole point is to, on this road of hope, is to bring others along, to help those who have difficulty walking this road of hope. It's not all about me, and we are aware of that to some degree, but it isn't all about me. It's about us walking together, working together to meet that little baby at the time, Jesus, in hope and in peace, and in love and in joy. On this road of hope, we hold the candle of hope during the Advent time, and we need to prepare a way to make a road level, smooth as possible, for we're not walking on it alone. We are walking on it together. And it's our responsibility as believers in Jesus to watch for those who may have stumbled or are sitting at the side facing in a sense of hopelessness, and to bring them along and to bring a sense of hope, an anticipation of something great to come. This is an incredibly hectic time of year for so many of us. We need to support one another at this time. There is a light at the end of this road. It's the coming of our Lord Jesus. Our reading in Thessalonians says, night and day we pray most earnestly that you may see face to face, we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. This is a way to assist those in our midst who struggle at this time. We can pray for them. We can do things that will restore whatever is lacking in their faith. God bless us as we journey on this road of hope, the candle of hope, symbolizing that hope in Christ to come. Amen. And now, trusting in the sure promises of Christ and grateful for the Spirit's sustaining power, let us bring forth our tithes and offerings to God. God of righteousness, you have saved us from the worst the world can do and have promised to redeem the whole creation when Christ comes again. In faith and in hope, we offer our gifts of money and self that we may be part of what you are doing in the world even now as we watch for Christ's coming in glory. Amen. Please be seated. The flowers we have, these lovely red roses, have been placed by June Spence in loving memory of Jean Douglas, and we thank you, June, for doing that. We have a blue rose here as well, and as to celebrate the birth of a baby boy, a grandson, to Ben and Renata Krieger, I'm going to try, Jacobus Dempers Bunzier. See, I thought maybe that you had to pronounce it all that way. Bunzier. Okay. Jacobus? I got that right, yes? All right. So J.D. His little brother and sister Zani, right? I'm working on it. So anyway, congratulations on that, a new grandparent. We also want to remember in our prayers this morning Anne Bone. Some of you know already, and others may not, that she tripped and fell outside the church this week and broke her shoulder and fractured her hip. Yeah, I know. And I spoke with her this morning, and they're still trying to assess what happened on Tuesday. They still haven't really done anything with her shoulder. Her hip is just going to have to mend on its own. But her shoulder, they're trying to decide what kind of surgery they're going to do, and they definitely will be doing some kind of surgery. So we want to remember Anne Bone in our prayers today. Let's bow our heads as we pray for others in our lives. Merciful God, you call us to goodness and lead us on right paths, and you encourage us with signs of your coming and urge us to keep watch that we might greet you with heads raised high when you come to restore creation. So you've also commanded us, especially in these readings today, to be watching and waiting and praying. And that's what we're doing this morning. And although there are so many names that I know I could mention right now, I do want to remember Anne Bone. Be with her, Lord. Continue to help her to mend and the doctors to sort out what needs to be done to help her. And Lord, we take a time now, because each one of us knows somebody in need, to offer names up to you. God, we thank you so much for these names that have been said out loud. These are faithfully offered to you to intercede in their lives. For those that were said silently too, Lord, we hold them up to you in that way for intercession and by your Spirit. And now by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, make us ever more faithful that we may greet you in the confidence and joy that you've commanded us on that great day. We offer all these prayers through Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. It's Advent, and as I said, Advent is the coming of the divine presence of God in the midst of creation. And today we celebrate Advent with both this candle of hope, the hope that we have in the coming of that divine presence of God, and with the sacrament of Holy Communion. A Holy Advent Communion, structured a little different than we are used to, because it's Advent. We're looking for something, a hope that we have in Jesus. We come to the Advent table as people of God, children of a Father who loves us everlasting. Hear the Advent Communion words of hope in these words of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread. And after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you, and do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes again. With thanksgiving, we come before God in our Advent communion. And as we do, let's join together, remain seated, singing hymn number 400, Spirit of the Living God. Reading from the Living Faith. And Living Faith is a statement of faith issued by the Presbyterian Church in Canada. And in every generation, the Church needs to confess its faith anew. That confession must be at one and the same time be the ancient faith of the Church, and yet spoken into the mood and questions of its own time. And Living Faith, the publication of Living Faith, endeavors to do that. This statement of Christian belief was prepared under the direction of the Committee on Church Doctrine in the Presbyterian Church of Canada. It's been received by the General Assembly of our Church and is commended as an acceptable statement and as useful in both worship and study. This living faith is a declaration of faith of we, the people of God. Let us now rise and say in unison this declaration of faith concerning the sacrament of Holy Communion. In breaking bread and drinking wine, Jesus told us to remember him. In this action called Holy Communion, Lord's Supper, or Eucharist, Christ offers himself to us, and we present ourselves to him in worship and adoration. In Holy Communion, Christ places his table in this world to feed and bless his people. The Holy Spirit so unites us in Christ that in receiving the bread and wine in faith, we share in his body and blood. The Lord's Supper is a joyful mystery whereby Jesus takes the bread and wine to represent his atoning sacrifice, deepening our union with himself and with each other, giving us of his life and strength. Here Christ is present in his world, proclaiming salvation until he comes, a symbol of hope for a troubled age. The Eucharist is thanksgiving to God. We pray for the world and with gratitude offer our lives to God. We celebrate his victory over death and anticipate the joyous feast we shall have in his coming kingdom. We pledge allegiance to Christ as Lord, are fed as one church, receive these signs of his love, and are marked as his. Those who belong to Christ come gladly to his table to make a memorial of his life and death, to celebrate his presence, and together as his church offer thanks. Please be seated. On the night that Jesus had a meal with his disciples, they all sat together around a table. And when I do communion after these communion services with Sunday school, we have it a little bit more intimate and relaxed, and I'm doing that as well because of Advent. I want us to remember that Jesus, when he sat with his disciples on that night, they were just having a meal together. They had many meals together. But in this one particular Last Supper together, at the end of the meal, Jesus picked up a piece of bread. Got their attention because he held it up probably. And he broke it. This Advent communion bread that we break is a sharing of the body of Christ. We who are one body, for we share that same loaf. Christ said, "This body is broken for you for the forgiveness of sins." I'm sure he got their attention. And while they sat there quietly listening to him, he picked up the cup and he said, "This cup is the cup of the sacrifice of my blood." Every time you have a meal, every time you share the bread and wine, do this in remembrance of me. The Advent communion cup for which we give thanks is truly that sharing of the blood of Christ. That cup that we drink is our participation in the Christ's blood, Christ's salvation for us. We give so many thanks to God for this simple sort of act and sacrament that he's left us with. As we do give thanks, let us now bow our heads in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, this is the joyful Advent feast of the people of God. People will come from east and west, from north and south, and sit at the table in the kingdom of God. When our risen Lord was at the table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it, and broke it, and he gave it to them. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites all who trust him to share the feast that he has prepared. Congregation of Jesus Christ, the Lord has prepared this special Advent communion table for all who love him and trust in him alone for their salvation, all who are truly sorry for their sins, who sincerely believe in the Lord Jesus as their Savior and who desire to live in obedience to him as Lord. All are now invited to come with gladness to this table of the Lord. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. This is the body of Christ given for you. Thanks be to God." people of God, this is the body of Christ, broken for you. Take and eat. Come then, all is ready. Christ was raised to life. Death is swallowed up. Victory is won. Alleluia. This is the blood of Christ, shed for you. Thanks be to God. This is the blood of Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Take, drink. Bow our heads in prayer. Loving God, we thank you that you fed us in this sacrament, that you have united us mystically with Christ and given us a foretaste in that sense of the heavenly banquet that we await in your eternal kingdom. God, in this Advent coming of your divine presence in the midst of creation, keep us in the power of your Spirit to live and to work to your praise, your glory, and for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We join together now in our closing hymn, 119, Hope is a Star. The candle of hope. Be the people of hope. Let hope live in your heart and share the hope of Christ with all you meet this week. Share hope by noticing someone else's humanity and humility. Share hope by listening to someone's story this week. Share hope by praying for our world. In this Advent season, we need to see and to feel and to share hope. And our candle of hope reminds us of this. So as we go out into the wonder of God's creation, we go out to share hope with those all that we meet. And now may God of hope, who brought love into this world, be the love that dwells between us. May the Father of hope, who brought peace into this world, be the peace that dwells between us. May the Son of hope, the rock we stand upon, be the center, the focus of our lives always. And may the Spirit of hope, who brought joy into this world, be the joy that dwells between us, particularly during this Advent season. Blessings of God Almighty. Amen. God bless you all. Amen.